ask you to turn, please, to that psalm that we read earlier, to Psalm number 39. And just with God's word open before us, let us bow together, please, just in a short word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we just thank Thee for Thy presence with us already in this gathering tonight. We pray that Thou would intensify that sense of Thy presence among us. Father, our prayer is that Thou would take our hearts and minds of the things of time and sense tonight, that Thou would fix them upon Thee, upon our God, and upon our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and upon the great issues of eternity. Father, we pray that by Thy Holy Spirit tonight, as Thy word is preached, that Thou, Lord, will accompany it with the power of Thy Spirit, and that, Lord, Thou wilt use Thy word, O God, this night, to draw some souls into the family and fold of God. Bless tonight, we pray. Speak to this end, we ask. Cleanse me, Lord, afresh in the precious blood. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost and with power. And give all that is needed, Lord, for the proclamation of Thy precious word. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Our text for this evening we want to look at is verse number 4 of Psalm number 39. Let me just read that verse with you again. It says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, and what it is that I may know how frail I am. Our text tonight is found in the midst of a psalm that was composed by David. Now, many of David's psalms are filled with praise to God and the adoration of the Lord. But this psalm is different. The psalm is marked by a note of solemnity. For in a time of great trouble in his own life, David, he ponders the brevity of life. He considers the vanity of life. Yes, he considers his own mortality. Just as a traveler looks to the end of his journey, just as a sailor looks to the end of his voyage, just as a laboring man looks to the end of his working day, so David here in this psalm, he ponders his own death. That time when his own very life on earth will draw to a close and will come to an end. In fact, in the psalm, he is so burdened and concerned about this solemn matter that he actually prays to God concerning his own death. And that prayer is recorded for us in the words of our text tonight in verse number 4, when he prays, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Now, when you think of that prayer and those words that he uttered there, you can say that really in many ways his prayer there is similar to the prayer of Moses. That Moses offered up in Psalm 90 when he prayed to God and said, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. There too, in that very same prayer of Moses, the servant of God, he was considering death, his own mortality, the brevity of life, that time when his own life on earth would come to a close. And this is how it is with David when he prays, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Oh, dear friend, tonight in our meeting, the Bible says to you and I that it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. In other words, God says it is a wise thing for you and I to consider our own mortality. It's a wise thing for you and I to think about the day of our departure from this life, the time of our decease, when our time on earth will be over. Therefore, it is indeed a wise thing for us to ponder this prayer of David in our text this night that he utters before the Lord. And dear people, as we would look then at this prayer of David regarding his own mortality and death, there are four simple lessons I want to set before you tonight. If you're in the meeting and you're still unsaved, I pray that God will speak to your soul. And that not only will He speak to your soul as you consider these truths, these vital lessons, that you will come to Christ tonight, that you will be saved, that you'll be ready to die, that you will be ready for heaven. Notice, first of all, here we see from our text that death is certain for all. You look carefully at how David prays in this text. He says, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am." By those words there, David really shows us that death is a certainty that he could not avoid. And he further emphasizes the solemn reality by his words in the following verse 5. Look at what he goes on to say there. He says, "Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee." Notice there how he likens his days unto an handbreadth. In Bible times, an handbreadth was a very short measurement. And in comparison here to the greatness of God and the eternity of God, David knows that his life on earth is brief. He knows that his life on earth is short. He knows that death is an inescapable fact that he cannot evade, that he cannot avoid. Oh, men and women tonight, young people, boys and girls in our meeting, should the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ tarry, death also is a certainty that you and I must face, that you and I must deal with, that you and I cannot escape, that you and I cannot avoid. The Bible says we must needs die. You think about that tonight. With the passing of every second in our life, you and I are climbing up the rung on the ladder of life, that rung that will eventually lead to the moment, to the time, to the day of our death and our departure from this world and from this scene of time. Death is certain. We must needs die. You must needs die. I must needs die should the coming of Christ tarry. It matters not tonight how rich we are. We may hoard up the riches of this world and this life and the things of this life. Yes, we may even think that maybe somehow, some way, the riches of this life can stay the hand of death. But such thinking is wrong. For one day you and I will die and we will leave all our riches, all our earthly possessions will be left behind. You look at what David says in verse 6 of this psalm about man and his riches. He says, "Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them." Notice that final statement. "And knoweth not who shall gather them." What's David saying there? He's saying that man with all his riches, when he comes to die, will be of no avail to him. He must and he will leave them all behind. Friend, you and I come into this world with nothing, and we will leave this world with nothing. And the hymn writer says, "Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing. Shadows are gathering, deathbeds are coming, coming for you and for me." Oh, friend, tonight realize this, that death is certain. It's a fact of life. Listen to the news every day, you hear about it. Read the daily papers. Every day you're confronted with death columns of so-and-so who's passed away from this scene of time. Death is certain. It's inescapable. And my, the reason for death and for it certainly is because of our sin and the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. When Satan came and he tempted Adam and Eve to take the forbidden fruit, God said to Adam, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." My, they took the fruit. Death passed upon Adam and upon Eve. and upon all his seed, all the rest of mankind. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. You and I have been born in sin. We have been shapen in iniquity. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And our sinful nature, our iniquities, our transgressing of God's holy law is the cause of our death. My, the ultimate penalty of all sin is death. Not just physical death, but eternal judgment in hell itself. That place which the Bible calls and describes as the lake of fire. That's the ultimate end, the ultimate penalty of all sin. Turning your Bible over to Revelation chapter 21. And look with me, please, at the verse number 8. Here you see the certainty of hell, the end of sin, eternal punishment for sin. This is what the Bible says, and this is what God warns you and I of in His Word. And can I say He warns you and I of this in love? It says in verse 8 of Revelation 21, it says there, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. My friend, that's the end of your sin. When you die in your sin, no matter who you are, that is where your sin will take you to, the lake of fire. The place of everlasting judgment, everlasting torments, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Oh, as you think tonight of this prayer of David concerning his own death, see that death is certain. Certain for you and for me. And if you die in your sin, my, you will go out into a lost eternity to suffer the wrath of God upon you for your sin forever and ever. Yes, we see from our text tonight that death is certain for all. But there's another lesson as well that we can glean here from this prayer of David. In the second place tonight, we can say that death is the end of man's life on earth. Look again carefully at how David prays in this text. He says, Lord, make me to know mine end. Notice that little phrase, mine end. Notice how David there uses the word end. David knew that as far as this world was concerned, that death would mean the end of his life on earth. Can I say it's the same for all men? Death brings down the curtain, so to speak, for each and every one of us in this life, in the scene of time. Look at what David prays further on down the psalm in the very last verse. Verse 13, he says, oh, spare me that I may recover strength. He says, before I go hence, notice it, and be no more. My David knew that one day he would be no more upon the scene of time. And friend, it's the same with you and I. One day you and I will be no more on this earth, on this scene of time. My, our earthly life and all that it involves, all that it entails, will one day come to an end. God will bring the shutters down. He'll bring the curtain down. When death comes, it will mark an end of everything that we've been involved in this earth, in this scene of time. It will all come to a finality, to a conclusion, to an end. Friend, realize this tonight, that death means the end of all our temporal concerns. It brings an end to all our temporal concerns. Day by day, you and I are taken up with temporal things. We're taken up with material things, the things of this world, the things of our work, our employment, our homes, or our families. But you know, whenever death comes, our concern with these things of this life will come to an end. They will be no more. Yes, death means the end of all your concerns about this life. Everything that concerns your heart and your mind tonight. Everything that will concern your heart and your mind tomorrow when death comes, that will end. That will come to a conclusion. It will come to a finality. Not only does death mean the end of all our temporal concerns, death also means the end of all our earthly relationships. Yes, you and I, we have our families, we have our loved ones, our dear ones. We have our friends in life, people that are dear to us. But you know, when death comes, there'll be a breaking up of these ties on earth. Those ties will be broken. Those friendships will be broken. Our seat will be empty. My, as the hymn writer says, the gathering around the fireside will never be the same again. Yes, parents die. Children die. Friends die. God's servants die. People die. Oh, in light of the ending of these relationships by death, let us value these relationships while we have them. Let us hold our friends and our families dear to our hearts and do all we can to help and encourage one another while we have each other in this life and in this scene of time. For whenever death comes, all these relationships that we now have and enjoy in this scene of time will come to an end. Death will break every one of them up. Death means the end of our concerns of life. It means the end of our earthly relationships on earth. And death also is the end of our probation on earth as far as God is concerned. You see, at death, our soul goes out into eternity. And eternity consists of either heaven or hell. Christ speaks of heaven when he said to the disciples, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." He was speaking there to you and I about heaven. But he also warned about hell. Think of that parable that he uttered about the rich man in Luke chapter 16 who died. And he said this, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments." There is eternity after death, and eternity consists of heaven or hell. Where you and I shall be in eternity depends what we've done on earth, on our time of probation on earth. It determines what we've done on earth with Christ and with the gospel. Friend, the truth of the matter is this: if you believe the gospel, if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, you shall be with him in heaven in glory when you come today. But if you reject the gospel, disbelieve the gospel, and reject Christ, turn away from him and being your Savior, and turn your back upon him when you come today, your soul will go out into a lost eternity in hell. Listen to what Christ said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 36. He said, "He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Where you and I will be in eternity depends what we've done with the gospel, with Christ on earth. Friend, if you're to prepare in heaven, the only time you've got to prepare is here and now, in this scene of time. For when you die, there'll be no second chance. There's no reincarnation. There's no coming back. Death means the end of our time of probation upon this earth as far as God is concerned. Something else. And this applies to all of us, especially in this meeting tonight, who are saved. Death is the end of all of our labors for God on earth. Turn over with me, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 9. And the verse number 4, and you'll see how Christ himself realized this. As he spoke to the disciples, he realized there was a time when his work on earth and his earthly life would come to an end. Look at what he says in John chapter 9 and the verse number 4. He's dealing here with the healing of the blind man. He says, "I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh, when no man could work." Christ knew there was a time coming when his life on earth would end. And the works that he done during his earthly life would cease. They would come to an end. Oh, Christian, learn there from Christ before death comes. You and I are to do all we can for God. You and I as believers are to do all we can for the good of others. For when death comes, every opportunity to serve God will be gone on earth. Every opportunity to pray for others on earth will be gone. It will be over. It will come again to us no more. Think of the words of the hymn writer, only one life to live. I must never withhold it from God. Oh, Christian, realize tonight you've only one life to live. And only what is done for Jesus will last. Because when death comes, our life of service on earth will be over. Yes, death is certain. Death is the end of man's life on earth. But notice something else from our text tonight. We can also say that, and this seems quite strange, death is something that man is liable to forget about. He's liable to forget about it. And you see that very carefully, clearly, from the way that David prays in our text. Look again at what David prays in Psalm 39 and the verse 4. Notice the opening statement there of the verse 4. He says, Lord, make me to know mine end. Notice that little phrase, to know mine end. What does that tell us? What does it show us? It shows us here that David was really praying that God would help him remember the day of his death. That God would help him to consider the time when he would depart and leave this world and leave this scene of time. He knew it was something that he was liable to forget about. Something that he was liable to put it, as it were, in the very back of his mind, as we would say, to put it on the back burner. And so it is with man. My death is something that man is liable to forget about. Why is that so? It seems strange, yet it is a fact. Yes, we are liable to forget about death because of its unpleasantness. It is an unpleasant thing to think about death. You see, death itself is an evil. It's an evil. You think of the words of the wise man Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. He's speaking there about the onslaught of death. And how does Solomon describe it there? He describes it as an evil day, as a day of evil. You think again of the words of Paul as he speaks about death to the Corinthians. He calls it the last enemy. The last enemy, says Paul, is death. Death's an evil. It's an enemy. It's a great robber. It destroys everything. Therefore, you and I don't naturally want to think about it. Want to put it out of our mind. Want to put it, as it were, in the back burner. We're liable to forget about it. That's how it was with David. That's why he prayed in this fashion. You know, we're also liable to forget about death because our minds are absorbed with other things. You look again at what David says about man there in verse number 6. He speaks about man and he says, he heapeth up riches, heapeth them up. In other words, he is consumed with the things of this life. The riches of this life, the vanities of this life, they've taken over his mind. Hence, there's no thought of death. There's no thought of eternity. You turn with me over to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 8, and the verse number 14. And here you have the parable of the sower. And in this parable of the sower, the Lord talks here about those whose minds are choked. Minds that are crowded out with the things of this world. The things that are temporal, the things of time and sense. Look at what he says in verse 14 of Luke chapter 8. He says, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they heard, that's the word of God, the gospel, go forth and are choked. Notice what they are choked with. The cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. In other words, what's the Lord saying there in teaching? He's telling us that the hearing, indeed the warnings of God's word in the gospel, do not profit such. Why? Because their lives, their minds are choked. He says they're with cares, with riches. with the pleasures of this life. Many's a time I've spoken to a person about their soul, their need to prepare for eternity and death. You know what they say? I have not time to think about those things. I'm too busy with my work. I'm too busy with this and with that. I've no time to consider those things. I wonder, friend, is that a picture of you in the meeting tonight? Is that a picture of one in this gathering tonight? You say, yes, I'm too busy to think about my soul. Too busy to think about my death. Too busy to think about my eternity. And the need of my soul's salvation, is that you tonight? Friend, if you die unsaved, let me say this, you'll have all eternity to think about your soul. Need even to think about your soul's salvation. But it will be too late to do anything for your soul and for your soul's salvation. Too late shall be your cry. Yes, we are liable to forget about death because it is an unpleasant thing. We are liable to forget about death because our minds are absorbed by the things of this life. We are also liable to forget about death through the work of Satan, through the work of the evil one. Satan is a real personality. Satan is the great deceiver. He's a father of lies. And what does the Bible say about Satan? The Bible says he have blinded the minds of them that believe not. In other words, Satan will employ any means to get you to stop thinking about your death and to get you to stop thinking about eternity and your need of salvation. He will use friends. He will use family. He will use your business. He will use your employment. He will use the things of this life, this world, to blind your mind, not to think about your death and your mortality and your eternity and your need of salvation. Unsaved friend, I urge you tonight, do not listen to the lies of the devil. He wants to damn your soul in hell. Listen not to his word tonight. Listen not to his gossip tonight. Listen not to his deception. Listen to God. Listen to the word of God. And what does God say in his word in the book of Ecclesiastes? He says, to everything there is a season, a time to be born and a time to die. God has appointed a time. When you and I will die, when you and I will leave this world, it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. Death, yes, we see is certain. Yes, we see that death is something that we are liable to forget about. We see that death means the end of our life on earth as we know it. But there's something else here for us to glean from this text of David in this Psalm 39 tonight. And it is simply this: death is something that man must prepare for. He must prepare for death. Look again at what David prays in this text. He says in verse 4 of Psalm 39, he says, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. And uttering that prayer, David wanted to be prepared for his death. He wanted to be ready for the time of his departure from the scene of time. Dear friends, if you and I are to be wise, we too must prepare for death. We must prepare for our departure from this life and from this world. And how can you and I prepare for death? Well, we must remember that death can come suddenly. It can come swiftly. At any moment, it can strike. Look at what David says about himself at the end of verse 4 in our text. He says, how frail I am. This was the king of Israel speaking. This was the man who slew Goliath. This was the mighty conqueror who took up the sword when no one else would stand in the evil day. Yet he says of his own life, how frail I am. David knew that in a moment of time, his life could be taken from him. What did he say in another part of the Bible? There is but a step between me and death. If you and I are to prepare for death, we must remember this, that death can come suddenly, come swiftly, can come at a moment's notice. Dear friend, in a moment of time, maybe through an accident, through a sickness, through a bodily infirmity, or even through the evil deeds of others, our lives can be taken from us out into eternity. Our souls can be ushered. We thank God today for all the advances of science and modern medicine. We thank God for them, but they still cannot prevent death coming. They still cannot keep you and I back from going out into eternity. If you're to prepare for death, remember this, it can come at a moment's notice. It can come as quickly as the crack of a rifle. But how else must we prepare for death? Not only must we realize that it can come suddenly, that our life is frail and brittle, but we also prepare for death by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. This is how it was with David. For look at what he utters there in verse 8 of the psalm. Notice what he says to the Lord. He says, "Deliver me from all my transgressions." David was trusting in Christ. He was trusting in the Lord for the forgiveness of all of his sins. Dear friend, by us repenting of our sins, by you and I trusting in Christ, trusting in his shed blood, his finished work upon the cross of Calvary to wash away our sins, we can secure a place for us in heaven. You and I can be ready to die, ready to leave this life, this world. Did not Jesus say, "I am the door? By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture"? Did not Christ say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me"? You come to Christ. You trust Christ as your Savior. Repent of your sin. Have your sins washed away in the precious blood that he shed. And you'll be ready to die. You'll be ready to leave this world, the scene of time. You look again at what David says there at the end of verse 7 in the psalm about the Lord. He says, "Lord, my hope is in thee." His whole hope of salvation, his whole hope of heaven, where was it? It was resting in Christ alone. He was not trusting in himself. He was not trusting or resting in the things of man or the things of this world for salvation. Look at what he says there about man and his things in life at the end of verse 5. He says, "Verily every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah." He was not resting in anything of himself or man for salvation. He was resting in Christ. Did he not say, "The Lord is my shepherd"? Did he not say in Psalm 27, "The Lord is my salvation"? And friend, if you are to know your sins forgiven, if you are to be sure of heaven and be ready to die, then now in time you need to come to Christ. You need to repent of your sins. You need to trust in the precious blood that Christ shed upon the cross to wash away your sins. Praise God, he'll save you. He'll fit you for heaven, and you'll be ready to die whenever that comes or wherever it comes. Christ says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." My, for the Christian, death means his soul being absent from the body, present with the Lord. Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ and die is gain." For death for the Christian means the gain of heaven. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in this meeting tonight, have you made that preparation? Have you repented of your sins? Have you trusted Christ? Are your sins washed away in his blood that he shed upon the cross? That's the only way of preparation for death and for eternity. Turn with me over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Here you read of an old man in the New Testament time called Simeon. He was a man who was ready to die. He was ready to depart the scene of time. Why? Because he received Christ. He trusted in Christ. He was resting upon Christ for salvation. Look at what he says in verses 28 and 29 of 30 of Luke's Gospel chapter 2. The Lord is just a young child at this time. Yet it says of this old man, Simeon, it says, then took he him up, that's the Lord, in his arms. He received Christ and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Notice what he says. Notice his confession. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He knew who Christ was, the Son of God. He knew that Christ had come to be his sin bearer, that Christ had come to provide salvation for him upon the cross. And he received Christ. He trusted Christ. He says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. He was an old man, but he was ready to die. He was ready to meet his Maker. He was ready to go out into eternity. Face God. Friend, are you ready to die tonight? Are you ready to face death? Are you ready to face eternity? Can you say with Simeon, let now thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation? Is Christ your salvation tonight? For I tell you this, if Christ is not your salvation, you're not ready to die. You're not ready to depart this scene of time. We look at what David says there in the psalm again. Look at how he begins verse 7. He says, and now, Lord, what wait I for? Think of those words. Now, Lord, what wait I for? David did not hold back from trusting Christ and accepting Christ as his Savior, as his Lord. Now, Lord, what wait I for? He did not hold back. He was just a young boy when he put his faith and trust in the Lord for salvation. Friend, follow the example of David. Do not hold back tonight from Christ. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The Lord says, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. God says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. God says, my spirit shall not always strive of man. The only moment that you are guaranteed is now, this very moment. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl, not saved, not ready to die, not ready for eternity, not ready to meet your God and your Maker. I urge you tonight, I plead with you to come just as you are to Christ. Accept him as your Savior. Accept what he did on the cross for your salvation. Have your sins put away. Praise God, you'll be able to look forward to heaven. You'll be able to look forward to glory. Now is the accepted time. Not tomorrow, not next Sunday, not next week or next month, but now. This is the accepted time. Come tonight and trust him as your Lord and as your Savior. We're going